Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, Parshas Tezriah Metzorah. The title of the shiur tonight is The Downside to Haughtiness. So tonight we're going to look at Gemaras that are related to a pasuk in this week's parsha in Tezriah that we'll see at the end of the shiur. But the Gemaras basically explain and analyze the flaw of being haughty, the flaw of being arrogant. So these Gemaras are tied. You'll see at the end of the shiur there's a pasuk from our parsha from Tezriah that ties in to the idea and the concept of the downside of being haughty, of being arrogant. So we'll start with the Gemaras here are in Sota Daf Hem and Aleph, and we'll go in order of the Gemara, and we'll just try to analyze and maybe discuss some various positions on why it's so bad to be arrogant, so bad to be haughty. So the first Gemara is in the top of the page, Sota Daf Hem and Aleph, and it goes as follows: Azhara Legase HaRuach Minayin. So the Gemara asks the question, where do we know that it's prohibited to be a gas ruach, to be a haughty person, to be arrogant? I'm using those words interchangeably, but to be arrogant. So where do we know from the Torah that it's a problem? So Amar Rava, Amar Ze'iri. So Rava said that Ze'iri said, Shimu v'hazinu al tigbahu. So one possibility is we learn it from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So if you look in source number 3, the pasuk says, Shimu v'hazinu al tigbahu ki ad Hashem diber. And if you look in source number 4, the Radak explains the pshat of the pasuk, and it says, Shimu al tigbahu lo tizga'u v'tachshvu atzmechem ki ha-musar v'achachma imachem ve'einchem tzrichem l'shmo ha-musar ha-kel al yidei nevi'av lo ta'asu zeh. So don't be so haughty and think that you don't need the musar and the wisdom that are being given to you by the Nevi'im, and therefore it causes you not to hear the Musar. So don't be like that. That's what the Pasuk is telling you. So the Pasuk is basically saying, don't be a gas ruach, don't be haughty. And the next, so that's one possibility. So one possibility is that the Azhara, the prohibition for being a gas ruach, or being arrogant, is from this Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Mahacha, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says from a different area, from here, V'ram l'vavecha v'shachachta, so he learns it out from Devarim. If you look in source number 5, the psukim are referring to a Melech Yisrael, and it says, so if the Melech has too much wealth, too much stuff, too many wives, all these things, so what ends up happening is that his heart gets very high, and he loses and he forgets about Hashem. And that's the other possibility for the prohibition of being a gas ruach. And the Gemara goes on, Okedor of Avin Amar of Ila, Damar of Avin Amar of Ila, Kol Makom Shnamar Hishamer Pen Ve'al, Eno Ela Belo Sase. Anytime the Torah says Hishamer Pen or Al, it's teaching you that there's an Isser, there's a prohibition to be involved in this. So the Torah says, by the idea of the king, it says Hishamer, it says Lecha Pen Tishkach Zarashem Elkecha. So that's the source for the prohibition of being a gas ruach. So there's two opinions here. One opinion is that the source for being a gas ruach comes from Yirmiyahu, and the other opinion is that the source for being a gas ruach, for the prohibition of being a gas ruach, comes from Devarim. So the question is, what is the machlokas? It's not really, I don't think it's a machlokas per se, but what are the two positions? What are the two different ideas, possibilities, as to where we will learn out the prohibition of gas ruach? So this is the first idea in this year. And we'll start out with some basic insight into haughtiness. So if you look at the psukim and you try to categorize based on the psukim, we can come out with an analysis of the Gemara. So as I said before, look in source number 3. The first pasuk, which is the first opinion, is Shimu v'azinu al tikbo ki ad Hashem diber. It says, listen and hear, and do not be too haughty, do not be too high, ki ad Hashem diber, because Hashem is speaking. So one side, it sounds like the first side, is saying that the prohibition to be haughty is tied to the idea that haughtiness prevents a person from hearing Musar, from hearing ideas, and from hearing the idea of Tochacha. So one possibility is that the essential philosophical flaw of haughtiness is that you reject God's wisdom by not listening. You're closed off, you're shut off from hearing other people's advice, from hearing the advice of God, and as such, you've rejected God through this. So the first opinion is that haughtiness and the flaw of haughtiness prevents a person from really accepting the wisdom and knowledge of God. Whereas the other opinion, if you go to the other side, look in source number 5, it says, V'ram levavecha v'shachachto asad Hashem olkecha hamotzi yachal me'eretz Mitzrayim beis avadim. The other opinion says that haughtiness isn't really about preventing a person from accepting God's wisdom, but it's about rejecting it after it's been accepted. And the idea is that the king will become haughty, and V'ram levavecha, so he'll accept the knowledge initially, but then he'll devalue the knowledge. He'll devalue God, he'll devalue Hashem because of his haughtiness, and therefore he'll reject Hashem after he's accepted Hashem, after he's accepted the ideas. So there's two concepts in haughtiness that are being presented here. I don't know if it's a classic halachic machlokas, but it sounds like the Gemara is highlighting two different ideas about arrogance, and they're similar to one another, but they're slightly different. The slight difference is that the first opinion holds that the prohibition of arrogance is tied to the inability of an arrogant person to hear advice, to hear wisdom from Hashem. So he's rejecting Hashem prior to getting that information, prior to actually even listening or hearing. It prevents him from hearing. But the other side holds that haughtiness is the other way. The haughtiness causes a rejection of God after the ideas have been accepted, but it's a rejection and a devaluation of those concepts, those ideas, for the self, for the greatness of the self, like the king, V'ram levavecha v'shachachto asad Hashem olkecha. So is the flaw of haughtiness tied to preventing a person from gaining knowledge, or is the flaw of haughtiness tied to shichacha, the idea of forgetting knowledge, the idea of rejecting Hashem and making God secondary to the self? So those are the two different possibilities as to what the nature of the philosophical flaw of haughtiness is. So I'm not sure if it's a technical machlokas, as I said before, but it's certainly presenting two different philosophical elements to the idea of haughtiness. But the basic underlying concept is that a person's rejecting Hashem. Either he's rejecting Hashem initially by not even listening, or a haughty person rejects Hashem after the fact. But either way, it's really an idea in rejecting God. I think the Gemara says, I didn't bring down this Gemara, but it says that anybody who's gas ruach is ke'ilu ovid avodah zarah. So really the idea is that gasus haruach is a rejection, implicit rejection of God, and it's an acceptance of idol worship. So there's two ways, like I said before. Either you don't hear, or you forget, you devalue the information because you don't want to hear it. You put the self first. So those are the two concepts, basic concepts to start the shir off with. But now the Gemara skips down. We're taking up various ideas in gas ruach, and the Gemara has a different concept here. So if you look in source number 6, the Gemara says, Amar of Chista. Rav Chista said, V'itema mar ukba. Some say that it was mar ukba who said this statement. Kol adam shiyeshbo gasus haruach. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein ani v'hu yecholen lador ba'olam. So anyone who's haughty, arrogant, Hashem says, I can't live with him in this world. Shenamar, as it says, let me read this properly. Malashni b'seser re'eu oso atzmis givayinayim ruchav levav oso lo ucha. So the pasuk says that a person who slanders his friend in secret, I'm going to destroy that person. And a person who's a gava einayim v'ruchav levav, person who's very haughty, high in his eyes, and he has a wide heart, oso lo ucha. So it says him, I will not endure. Al tikre oso, don't say oso, ela ito. The actual word in the pasuk is aleph tof vav, as if it's ito, with him, meaning I can't live with him, I can't endure with him. Lo ucha, meaning I can't endure with him. It doesn't mean that I can't tolerate him, but I can't live with him, and that's the lima. The lima is that Hashem can't live with somebody who is a gava leiv, a person who is gava inayim. And then the Gemara says, ika demasnila. Some say it's referring to a mesapre lashon hara. It's really talking about a person who's mesapre lashon hara, that Hashem can't live with a person who's mesapre lashon hara. Shenemar, as it says, melashni b'seser e'u oso atmos. The beginning of the pasuk is not talking about a haughty person. It's talking about a person who speaks lashon hara about his friend and slanders his friend in secret. So obviously, the next point in haughtiness and arrogance, to try to analyze this next Gemara, is the question of, what does it mean that Hashem can't live with somebody who's a gava leiv? What exactly is that problem? Is that flaw? And what's the machlokas here, the two sides? Is it referring to a person who's haughty, or referring to a person who speaks lashon hara? What's the difference between the two? So just before we answer, and if anybody has any possibilities, I'm going to stop after we read just the Tehillim and the Metzudas David, and if anybody has any possibilities for what the Gemara is referring to, and it says that Hashem can't live with a Gav Alev, just share it, and we'll discuss it. So the next thing is the Pasuk in source number 8. It says, Melashni Baseser Eyu Oso Atmes Gav Einayim Rechav Leva Oso Le'uchal. So Metzudas David says, Melashni Hamalshin Baseser Eyu Achris Oso. If a person slanders his friend in secret, let's say you have a neighbor and you talk behind his back, I'm going to destroy him, cut him down. Gav Einayim Hu Bal Gaiva. This is the Gas Ruach, the person who is haughty. Verechav Levav Hachomid Umisav L'chodav. A person who's jealous, he's envious of everybody. Oso lo ucha. Lo ucha lispol oso ki amasama ele snuem be'eni. So I can't tolerate these because these actions are hated by me, are hated in the eyes of Hashem. So what's so bad about it? And what does it mean that Hashem can't live with somebody who's a gav alev? What does that mean? Hashem doesn't live. He doesn't live in this world. So what does that mean that Hashem can't live with somebody who's a gav alev? And what's the difference between the gav alev possibility that Hashem can't live with a person who's haughty versus Hashem can't live with a person who speaks lashon hara about his friend behind his back, a backstabber? So what's the difference between the two? So those are the questions. Anybody have any possibilities? What does it mean that Hashem can't live with somebody who's a gav alev? So what is the idea of Hashem? The question to analyze the Gemara, what is the idea? By the way, there's very few Rishonim on these Gemaras, so that's why we just have to use Rashi. But the question is, there's some Achronim on this, but not so many, not, at least that I found. So we have to analyze this on our own and kind of try to come out with an idea. So what is the concept of Hashem living in this world? We say that Hashem doesn't live in this world. He exists, but he doesn't live in this world. But there are situations where the Shekhinah is present, where we... What is the Shekhinah? I mean, the basic question, what is the Shekhinah? So the Shekhinah is where Hashem dwells in this world, but he doesn't actually dwell. He creates a presentation that could draw man towards him. So the idea of the Shekhinah is that Hashem gives man an opportunity through some type of event or some type of idea that man perceives some insight. And through the Shekhinah, through the dwelling of Hashem, meaning through this presentation that Hashem gives, man is given an opportunity to understand more about him. So the idea of the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan means that Hashem created or gave man an opportunity to gain a greater insight than one could get just through nature alone about God through this, through the area of the Mishkan, the Mikdash. Those are all examples of the Shekhinah. Like the Gemara says that if when a person sees the moon, when he does the Kiddush Levana, it's Keroa Pnei Ashkina. Meaning there's different opportunities that man has to gain further insight, greater insight to Hashem. And the idea of Hashem dwelling in this world, it doesn't mean that he's actually contorting himself, because that's impossible. He's not physical. But what it means is that he presents us with opportunities to gain insight. And that's what it means, that he dwells. That's the purpose of his dwelling in this world. He gives us opportunities to gain further insight as a nation that we might not have gotten on our own. So what is the concept? So a gav alev, it sounds like the Gemara is saying that a gav alev, a person who's haughty, is a person who takes away man's opportunity to really gain that insight into Hashem. And that's the idea that Hashem cannot live with a person who's a gav alev, meaning that a gav alev draws attention away from the ideas of God. And therefore, the gav alev, because people are drawn to arrogant, or arrogant people tend to draw attention to themselves. So the idea is that the two can't coexist. Meaning, when the gav alev exists in this world and man is drawn to him, it takes away people's opportunities to understand God. It takes away people's opportunities to draw insight into Hashem. So the gav alev draws attention away from man, and it draws his ability, and makes him unable to really appreciate the presentation of Hashem in this world, the ideas of this world, and gain further insight into Hashem. But the two sides, what's the difference between a gav alev and a malshinei b'seser? So really, I think that they're the same person, meaning a person who speaks or slanders his friend is really a type of gav alev, because he thinks that he's above his friends, he's capable of knocking him down, but it's a more subtle, suppressed version of a gav alev. So the question is, which one is worse? Is the person who's outwardly arrogant worse than the person who's subtly arrogant? Meaning, and those are the two sides. So one side holds that that the gavalev, the person who's outwardly arrogant, draws people's attention away from God and makes and creates an inability for a man to really gain insight and benefit from the shechina, from God's presentation in this world. And the question is, who's worse for man? Is it the person who's openly arrogant, or is it the person who's subtly arrogant, where people are attracted to that person, they listen to his banter, they listen to his slander, but they don't really understand what's going on? So who's more dangerous for society? Is it the arrogant, or is it the hidden, suppressed arrogance that exists in the Malshini B'Sesser? The backstabber is the arrogant person, but he does it in a way which is more subtle. So that's the Machlokas. The Machlokas is, which personality draws man away from understanding and getting insight into God in a greater fashion? Is it the person who's more open about it, or is it the person who's more subtle about it? And those are the two possibilities, the Gav Olev versus the Malshine B'Sesser, the person who slanders. Okay? So that's the second idea in haughtiness. So again, just to summarize, I like to summarize in the share. So the first idea is, where do we learn it out from? What's the philosophical flaw? And the philosophical flaw seems to be rejecting God, either preliminarily rejecting God by not wanting to listen or not being capable of listening, or rejecting God after the fact. Once you accept the ideas, but now you can't tolerate any idea that you're restricted to, and therefore you devalue those concepts. And then the second point here is that the Gav Olev versus the Malshine B'Sesser, they both draw man away from being able to appreciate the presentation of God in this world. And there's two types of people. There's the person who's haughty in an open, outward manner, and then there's the person who's a backstabber, who's really haughty but tries to hide it, and he's more subtle. So which one is worse? That's the machlokas. Okay? So let's go on. More insight into the psychology. Now we're going to get into the psychology of the... those are both philosophical ideas, but now we have to understand the psychology of the person who's haughty. And at the end of the year, like I said, we'll tie it into the Parsha a little bit. Okay, so the psychology of the person who's haughty and the person who's arrogant, if we look in source number 10, we'll be taken up by this Gemara. So the next Gemara in this in Sota says, Amar Rav Alexandri, Kol Adam Shiyesh Bo Gasos HaRuach, any man who has haughtiness, Afilu Ruach Kima Ocharto, even a slight wind disturbs him. Shenamar, as it says, the harishayim kiyam nigrash, that rishayim are like an unsettled sea. Uma yam sheishbo kama revios ruach kima ocharto. We see by the sea that when there's a small wind, it creates a current. Adam shein bo ela revios achas. Adam, who's made up of a small amount of liquid of dam, so alchas kama vekama, he's going to be more affected by the wind, even more affected by the wind than the ocean is. So it's a weird type of Gemara, but the Gemara says that a person who's a gas ruach, one of the downsides to being haughty, is that a slight wind disturbs you. And if you look in Rashi, he explains, ruach kema, look in source number 11, he says, ruach kema ocharto, peranios kala torfaso umavdaso, even the smallest amount of bad events that occur to him, causes him to be destroyed. And he's all confused, and he gets destroyed through these bad events. So if something like breaking a leg, something tiny, even the smallest thing, throws the person off, the haughty person off. And it goes on. It says, "Varshaim gase ruach dekrod le'el mishtay b'shvalim v'nitkaim lachios ruach shvalim." So the Rashi is just explaining that the context of this pasuk is referring to a gasa ruach, because it never doesn't say it openly in a pasuk, because the pasukim before are referring to people who are shafal, who are lowly. And he quotes the pasukim, ki lo'olam arevim osan shafalim ba'avon bitzo, derachav ra'isi, bori nifsvasayim. So all the pasukim before are referring to people who are lowly. So now this, aval rishayim, she'inan shafalim b'nikayim, the rishayim that are not lowly, like the tzaddikim, so these are the gasei ruach, kiyam nigrash, kiyam hamigarishu mashlich refesh v'titlis vasav svivav. They're like the sea that draws up from the bottom of the sea all the rocks and the dirt and brings it up to the surface. So there's a comparison between the gas ruach and the sea. And then the Gemara goes on, this comparison also goes further. It says, kama revies, luge mayim under roim shiruach kima ocharto ocharasas meimov. So you see that even the smallest wind affects a large sea. And the next page says, Adam she'en bo'el revius achas, she'bervius dam hu miskayim shir zeh lachem bush mesinai. A man just needs a revius of dam. Shervius dam mace metami ba'olam v'neshi nefesh ukrina be'alkol nafshis mace liyavo. Dam was considered the nefesh of the person, considered the life force of the person, and even a revius dam makes a person tame mace if they're in the same vicinity of a Jewish revius of dam after the person died. So the idea is that, of course, a person's going to be more affected by the wind than the sea. So what is this comparison? What's the idea that, the question is, why is it that a haughty person, an arrogant person, the slightest wind affects him? What does that mean? How do we explain that? Why does it affect, like Rashi says, even a smallest thing, even the smallest bad event that occurs to him, a person stubs his toe, it unravels them. He says, peronios kala, even the smallest, lightest thing, torfaso umaldasa. So it causes him pain and destroys him. So what is that? What's that idea? Okay, so now just, I think this is, this is not a trick question, but the idea is that, but just to give some insight, I think the concept has to do with the why not me idea, the why not me possibility. Meaning, a lot of times when a person goes through a trauma, some people ask why, and then other people ask why not, meaning why not me? Why not me? So some people say, why me? And the other people say, why not me? So there's two attitudes to trauma. One attitude is, how could this happen? I shouldn't deserve this. I'm shocked by this. And the other attitude is, no, that I recognize that I'm like everybody else. And there's a possibility that just like somebody else could be affected negatively, I could be affected negatively. And most people are the why me. But there are a few people that are why not me people. There are two types of people. And it's not black or white. There's a gray too. But some people they say, why me? So the gas ruach is the why me person. Meaning a person who's haughty, the reason why even the slightest wind unravels them is because they're shocked by it. They're not prepared because they can't understand or they can't identify with the regular person, with other people. They think that they're above other people. So the fact that they're not prepared to handle it, because they can't possibly ever envision it happening to them. So that's what creates the unraveling effect. Meaning, if a person's prepared, if a person looks at himself in a way that he's no different, significantly different than other people, so then if something bad happens to you, you can deal with it. You can handle it because you were expecting it somewhat. In the back of your mind, in your unconscious, there was some expectation that this could have happened. But if you're a gas ruach, so you don't have that. If you're a gas ruach, you're shocked when something, even the smallest thing, happens to you, and you're not prepared for it. And the lack of preparation because of the gasus ruach is why the slightest event may cause a person to unravel, as opposed to the person who's more grounded. So the idea that the Gemara is expressing is that, aside from the philosophical flaws taking away from man's ability to understand God, perceive God, there's also a psychological problem, which is that a person is never going to be prepared for peronios, which is natural. Everyone goes through trauma in their life. But if you're a gas ruach, it's going to destroy you. You're not going to be able to handle the trauma because you'll always think, why me? And you'll never be prepared for it, for the possibilities. Whereas a person who's a shafal, he understands that he's no different than the rest of the world and that he's just a human being and anything could happen. So the person who's willing to accept that is typically a shafal, a person who's more lowly. But the person who's unwilling to accept that is typically unraveled by the trauma because they're not expecting it, they're not prepared for it. So I think that's the lesson that the Gemara is trying to allude to. Okay? Okay, so now there's another interesting Gemara, interesting question, aside from, it's on the path of Gassus HaRuach, but it's a different type of question. So the Gemara says like this, in source number 12. So it says, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said, that Rav said, Talmud Chacham tzarech shiebo echad mishmona b'shminis. A Talmud Chacham has to have 1/8 of 1/8 of arrogance. So even the question that the Gemara is raising is, or the possibility is, that a Talmud Chacham has to have the slightest amount of haughtiness and arrogance. Amar Rav Huna b'reider of Yeshua u'me'atra le'kisasa l'shibota. If a person has this 1/8 of 1/8 of arrogance, this Talmud Chacham, so then he's crowned like the crown. I'm going to read you the English, like the on of the bristle growth on the shibolus, on the stalks. So it'll have this crown, this little crown. So Amar Rava, b'shamasa de ispe, b'shamasa de lespe. So Rava says, he agrees, and he says that a person deserves to be in Talmud Chacham should be excommunicated if he's arrogant, but also he should be excommunicated if he's not arrogant, meaning that he's supporting the statement. He's saying that a person should have, a Talmud Chacham should have a small amount of arrogance. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo mina v'lo miktasa. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, no, not it and not any of it. Mi zutar dechsiv be tuavas Hashem kol gavalev. Is it a small thing that the Torah says is an abomination? Anybody who's a gavalev is an abomination? So it's machlokes. The machlokes is it okay for a Talmud Chacham to be haughty, a little bit haughty? So one side, actually two opinions, say that yes, they should have a haughtiness, but it should be very slight. And the other side holds that their haughtiness is inappropriate. Any amount of haughtiness, any amount of arrogance should not be expressed by the Talmud Chacham and should not exist in the Talmud Chacham. So what is this machlokes? What is this argument based on? But why would you say that a Talmud Chacham should have arrogance? Does anybody have any possibilities? Why would a Talmud Chacham, why is it that they should have arrogance? At least the smallest amount of arrogance. So if you look in source number 13, it says, Echad mishmona b'shminis, mishkal katan hu, v'hainu uchla, chlomar, tzarech shiebo ma'at gaiva, shalo yu kali arush, mistolen bo, v'yidvar miskablan olem bal korcham. So the side that holds that they should have a little bit of arrogance is because a person who walks around and they're always their heads down and they're lowly, they're going to be tread upon. People aren't going to listen to the Chacham, and the Chacham has to have an effect on the people. So the arrogance is necessary so that people listen to him. If not, people will just mock him, they'll walk on him, and he won't have any power. So therefore, one side holds, no, it's a good thing that Chacham should have arrogance, but just a small amount. Uma'achele kisasa l'shibalta, Rashi, gasas mu'at no'ev eugenis lo l'tamu Chacham, uma'achroso kisasa ma'atarasis ha'shibolas. When a person has a little bit of arrogance, a Chacham, it's a good thing. It's like a crown that a king wears. So a little bit of arrogance is a crown for the Chacham. But then the opposite, v'shamasa de'ispe, gasas ruach. If a person is a gas ruach, he should be excommunicated. V'shamasa de'ispe, gasas porsel, if he should aim b'nei yiro yireim yimenu, v'aim bo koach lo chicham. But if he has no arrogance, people won't be afraid of him, and he can't give them hochacha. So, okay, so that's one side. But the other side says, lo mimena v'lo miktasa, lo yachbots adam, lo bekula v'lo bimiktasa, de mi zutar, ma dekari leikra, toi vas Hashem. So the other side holds, no, it's inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham to have any arrogance, because the Torah categorizes arrogance as an abomination to Hashem. So what is this machlokes? What is this argument? Why would you say that a Chacham should be arrogant? What are the pros and the cons to a Chacham being arrogant versus a Chacham, or having a little bit of arrogance, versus a Chacham not having any arrogance at all? So what are the two sides? Somebody on the phone line, anybody. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it seems like it depends on how society is going to view him.
Okay, so, good.
If you view arrogance as like a bad thing, a negative thing, or if you view a little bit of arrogance as a positive thing.
Okay, good. So that is actually one approach. There's two ways to learn this Gemara, and you're actually explaining one side. There's two ways to learn it. One way is the way the pshat is that we were learning. The question is whether they should actually have the arrogance internally, and a little bit of arrogance is good, versus nothing. They shouldn't have any arrogance. But the other way to learn it is it's about presentation, like you were saying, that the machlokas is that everyone holds that a chacham should not feel any arrogance. This is, I think, one of the achronim that I saw says that gives this opinion, gives this possibility. I don't remember who it was, but he says that the Gemara is not arguing about whether a Chacham should feel arrogant. It's inappropriate for a Chacham to feel arrogant. In fact, the Rambam says that with regard to arrogance and kas, a person is supposed to eliminate it completely from their personality, as opposed to other midos where a person could be in the middle by kas and gaiva. So a person is supposed to go to the other extreme and not have any of it at all. So everyone agrees to that, according to that way of learning. The question is, in society, as a presentation to society, should the Chacham present a little bit of arrogance, or should he not present arrogance at all? So the question is, I think what you were saying is that the question is, on the one hand, there's a benefit to arrogance, and the benefit to arrogance is that people will listen to the Chacham, and they'll be afraid of him, and they'll get his tochacha. So there's a benefit to arrogance. But the other side says that the overall benefit for most people is that people will gain from the tochacha if the chacham is arrogant. But because arrogance is a toeva, it's an abomination, the potential distortion that could emerge from that outweighs the benefit. So the question is it that the benefit, one side holds that there's a benefit to the chacham appearing to have arrogance because people will listen, but the other side says that the chacham can never subject people to an opportunity, or the chacham can never present people with an opportunity to distort God, to distort an idea of God. And to'eva means that the concept of gasus haruach itself, and even its presentation, is an abomination. It's the antithesis of God. So does the chacham have a right to create a possibility for a to'eva if there's an overall good, people will listen to him? Or do you say that the possibility of a to'eva, the possibility of distortion of God and misreading God and misunderstanding God to the point of it being called a to'eva, an abomination, doesn't allow the chacham, there's no mater, there's no heter for the chacham to present arrogance to people? So on the one hand, that's the question. On the one hand, the presentation of arrogance creates a potential for benefit because people will listen to the tochacha and they'll listen to the musar. But on the other hand, offering the people or giving them any insight, any idea of to'eva, any concept that could potentially distort their idea of God, a chacham doesn't have a right to do. That's the other side. So the question is, can a chacham override this idea of to'eva to benefit, or must a chacham stay away from any potential of to'eva? He can't be the facilitator of any potential abomination and misunderstanding of God. Even if there's a benefit, he can't create it. He doesn't have a right to, because the potential destruction outweighs the benefit. Or do you say no, that there's a benefit, and the benefit is that people will listen to him? So that's the machlokas. But the other possibility is whether or not he himself could have any arrogance. It's not about whether he presents arrogance to the people, but the other way of learning, the pshat, like Rashi, I think, is can a chacham have any sense of arrogance, even the smallest arrogance? So that seems to be a different question. That's a question, it seems like, in whether arrogance is intrinsically keneged Hashem, or it's an emotion that could be used for the good. Meaning that one side holds that arrogance could be channeled towards Kvod Torah, and arrogance could be utilized to bring people into an idea of respecting the Torah. But the other side, the side that holds its to'eva, holds that there's an intrinsic flaw in being arrogant, and therefore man and the chacham can't have any of it. If there's any attachment to it, it takes him away from God. It takes the chacham away from God. So that's the machlokas. Machlokas is, go ahead. Sorry.
I had a question after.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. That's a good idea. I think confidence is similar to arrogance. It's hard to define what the difference is. I would say that it's a good question. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. I mean, what is the difference? What do you think the difference between confidence and arrogance is? We could discuss it. Does anybody have any possibilities? What's the difference between arrogance and confidence?
I mean, you have respect for the other person, but you just know that your position is right. Like, you don't come from a place where you say, you know, I'm better because I know this, but at the same time, you like the other person.
You mean there's a way, you're saying that confidence is that there's a way to give over an idea where it shows that you value the idea and you believe in it fully, but you're not condescending. You're not condescending. Whereas arrogance is... Okay.
Yeah. Intellectual versus emotional. Yeah.
Right. I think the idea, though, it sounds like over here that the arrogance would be necessary for the people to... Meaning, it sounds like arrogance is necessary or somewhat beneficial for people in terms of being yare. Because he says... Rashi says, Gasas porsa lefishein b'nei iro yireim imenu. Apparently there's a benefit to the people having an awe or fear of the chacham. Not just like respect, kavu, but an awe. So somehow Rashi's saying that one opinion is saying that there would be a benefit to the arrogance as opposed to the confidence. The confidence wouldn't be enough, but there would be a benefit to the arrogance that wouldn't exist in the confidence. And the other side holds, no, that the arrogance isn't tolerable. Like, we don't let... But you're right, a chacham should be confident, he shouldn't be arrogant. So based on your definition, I agree with you. A chacham should be confident, but the question is whether arrogance would be tolerated or not. So that's the question. So again, there's two ways to learn the Gemara. Either the Gemara is taking up the question of how the chacham presents himself to the people, not what he actually internally feels, everyone agrees that internally he should be a shuffle, he should be lowly, but how he presents himself, the question is, should a chacham look for the general benefit, or do we say that he doesn't have a matir to present arrogance because it's toeva, because the potential distortion, even if it's minimal, outweighs the benefit? Or do you say no, that it's talking about the actual emotion itself, the actual feelings of arrogance? Should the chacham feel it? So the question is the feeling of arrogance intrinsically a problem, intrinsically a flaw that takes a person away from God? Or do you say that it could be channeled in the right direction? And it's something that could be molded, like other emotions could be molded towards the right, towards the right direction, or towards the right good. So the question is that the same by Gas Ruach or not? So the Rambam seems to say, even though I didn't bring down the Rambam seems to say the opposite, that it doesn't. It's intrinsically keneged. That's why it says, Va'ish Moshe Anav Me'od. I think the Rambam says that. That it says Anav Me'od. That Moshe was in the farthest extreme in terms of Gas Ruach. He was a shuffle. Because he understood the way the Rambam understands it is any presentation or any attachment to the haughtiness is a negative, even the smallest amount. So a person should try to distance himself. So that's the question. Or do you say that gasa ruach and haughtiness can be molded? It could almost be channeled in the right direction, and therefore it's okay for the chacham to feel it or to give into it a little bit. So that's the question. Okay, so now skip the Marsha. He doesn't really add that much. We'll go to the source number 15, last idea on haughtiness, and this ties into the parsha a little bit. So the Gemara says, Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo mina v'lo miktasa. We just read that, sorry. Keep going, go to the end of the line. Amar Chizkia, ain't tfilaso shel adam nishmas elim kein masim libo kebasar. A person's tfila will not be heard by Hashem unless he makes his heart like basar, like flesh. Shenamar, v'hayam yidei chodesh b'chodesho yavo kol basar l'shtachvos. So the people will come, midi chodesh b'chodesho, the people will come and daven to Hashem, and they'll bow down to Hashem. Amar of Zera, it says yavokol basar. It doesn't say yavokol adam, it says yavokol basar, meaning when a person is like basar, Rashi will explain, so then they'll bow down and they'll be heard. Amar of Zera, and now this is our parsha, basar ksiv be venirpa, adam lo ksiv be venirpa. So Rav Zera says that in our parsha in Tezria, when it says, look in source number 17, uvasar kievo be'oro shechin venirpa. When a person has shchin on his basar, on his flesh, he'll be healed. But when it says adam kie beor besarot saras, it doesn't use the word venirpa. Meaning, the Gemara is saying that when a person is like basar, when he acts like basar, in line with the idea of basar, of flesh, then he'll be healed. But when a person's like adam, then he won't be healed. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kivasar, shu rach velo ke'even shu kasha. So a person who's like basar is soft and sensitive. So when a person is sensitive or soft, so then he'll be heard by God. But when a person's hard, Adam is like Adama, like the hard ground. So when a person is hard and their heart is hardened, so they won't be heard. Their tefillah won't be heard. And so a person should strive to be soft when they're davening and not be hard, and not be harsh and stubborn. And Rashi goes on, he says, Lishtachavos, Lispal Osam, Shem Basar, Yavo Vyispalu, Kim Nishmaim, Lifanai, Aval Gaseruch, Leyavo. Those who act like basar, who try to mimic the softness of basar, the sensitivity of basar, of flesh, should come and daven. But those who are haughty should not. Meaning a haughty person is kasha, he's harsh. But a non-haughty person is soft. And it says, basar ksiv be venirpa, this is our pasuk, in Tazria, uvasar kiye vo be oro shechin venirpa. The pasuk says, when a person has a shechin, a boil on his basar, on his flesh, it'll be healed. Adam kiev or besaro negatzaras ki sieba adam loksib bechad minayu venirpa. Whenever the Torah uses the term adam, it never says be healed, because adam is the idea of adama, of hard, but basar is the concept of rach, of being soft. Lefi darchech atalimet shemishu rach ve'anav, a person who's soft and a person who's is humble kivasar, like basar karav lisrapos misurin, will be healed from tragedy, will be healed from Yisurin, from bad things that happen to them, bad diseases. Habanalav, aval mishu kasha ki adama, person who's hard like the land, the ground, ain refuah lemakosav. There's no refuah for his makos, for his afflictions. So the Gemara says two things. One is when a person davens, he should be soft and not hard. And the other thing is that a person will be healed. It sounds like the Torah is talking about tzaras, a philosophical disease of tzaras. But it says that a person, basar, will be healed. If a person is soft and humble, they'll be healed. But if a person is harsh, like the land, so they won't be healed. So what is that harshness? What's this idea of harshness? What is the comparison or the, I guess not the comparison, but the distinction between being harsh and soft? What's it even referring to? And also, what's the tefillah concept? What does it have to do with tefillah? That if you're soft when you daven, so then you'll be heard. But if you're harsh when you daven, then you won't be heard. What's the difference between being soft and harsh in this context? What does it even mean? So that's the question. Anybody have any possibilities? What's the difference between being soft or hard in this context? What does it mean that when you daven, if you want your davening to be heard, you should be soft like flesh, like basar, or sensitive? So the way that I'm learning it, I have a possibility. But the way that I was reading the Gemara and the way I was learning Rashi is that a person who's rach and humble is more open to different possibilities. To me, it seems like humility and open-mindedness come in together as one. Meaning that a person who's humble, he can see different possibilities. He's more open to different possibilities occurring. Whereas a person who's harsh, that tends to be a gas ruach personality trait. A person who's haughty also tends to be harsh. A person who feels like he's great, so he has a very fixed, narrow-minded view, and that which he thinks must be true. And he's not open-minded. There's a lack of open-mindedness to a person who has arrogance, because he's convinced that he's correct and what he thinks is true. And the person who's humble is open to other possibilities. He's rach, he's sensitive, he's soft. I think softness is an idea in open-mindedness and the ability for a person to not have a harsh worldview or a harsh perspective, but be open-minded, be soft, be sensitive to different possibilities. As opposed to the other way, which is kasha, a person who's harsh, he can't see other possibilities. He's limited in his perspective. So I think the idea is that the Gemara is saying that when a person davens, a person has to accept the possibilities, all the possibilities of his tefillah being answered. He can't limit and he can't have preconceived ideas as to what he deserves, what he doesn't deserve, how it's possible that I could be answered in this way or not this way. God will never answer me. God will answer me in this. I deserve this. All those fixed ideas about what man deserves, what I deserve, and how events will occur to reward me or punish me, all those are inappropriate in tefillah. A person has to come into davening and to daven with an open-mindedness, with an idea that he doesn't understand fully how his tefillah will be answered. He doesn't understand fully what he deserves, what he doesn't deserve. When you have that open-mindedness, you can formulate your tefillah properly and you can be in the right state of mind when you're davening to be answered. But if a person is harsh and they have a fixed view of how Hashgacha works, how what he deserves, what he doesn't deserve, what Hashem can do, so he's not open to the limitless possibilities of tefillah. And if you're not open to the limitless possibilities of tefillah, so then you're approaching God with the wrong mindset. You're limiting God. You're limiting, based on your own harsh perspective and your own closed-minded perspective, what you deserve, how God is going to respond to you, how God is going to reward you or punish you. So all those are inappropriate when you daven. The appropriate way to daven is to be as open-minded, as sensitive, as rach as possible, and only then will you be answered. You'll be in the shmos because you're open to various possibilities of how it will occur that you will be answered, how it will occur that God will respond to your tefillah. So you can't have such fixed views, because your fixed views will prevent you from approaching God properly. I think that's one idea. And the idea of refuah also. If the idea of refuah is that a person has to do tshuva by tzaras, so a person has to do tshuva in order for the makkah to go away. So the person who's a gassus ruach, they tend to have a hard time letting go of their fixed. They want to have control over their ideas, their fixed ideas of society, of reality, and they tend to have trouble letting go of them. It's much harder for a gas ruach to let go of a notion that they have, as opposed to a person who's rach, who's like basar. He's able to give up or to let go of a possibility that might be harming him. So that's the difference between a gas ruach and a shafal. Like the Gemara says at the end, and Rashi says, that a person who's an adam, he won't be healed, meaning he won't be able to let go of the flaw. Because he's fixed, he thinks that he's right, so he's not going to be able to let go of it. But the person who's rach, who's open-minded, who's softer, He can let go of the flaw. He's able to move past it and just let go of the flaw. But the person who's a gas ruach, a haughty person, it's more difficult for that person to let go, to say, I'm flawed and I need to remove myself or separate myself from the flaw. No, they're fixed to it, and their personalities affix them to that flaw. So I think that's the idea. And it's tied into our parsha, because the parsha says, U'basar kievo ba'orosh chin v'nirpa. If a person acts like basar, if they're softer, if they're able to let go, then they'll have a greater chance of doing tshuva and being rewarded and being healed. But if a person is harsher, and they're gas ruach, so they won't be able to let go of that flaw, and thus they won't be healed. They're like Adam. They're like harsh, like the Adama. Okay, so that's the idea of the parsha, the pasuk that relates to the parsha. So just to summarize, I know we did a couple ideas in haughtiness, but the first idea was the source of haughtiness. Is haughtiness primarily rejecting God preliminarily before you, because you won't hear His wisdom, or is haughtiness an idea of shichicha, that after you accept an idea, you forget it, you devalue it? Then the second point was the idea of haughtiness in the framework of living with God, that we said that the idea of living, that God living in this world, is a presentation to man to gain further insight into Him. And the Gas Ruach takes attention away from that possibility. It takes man's mind and himself, man's emotions, away from God. Thus, therefore, God saying that I can't tolerate living with either the Gas Ruach or the slanderer. And the Gas Ruach and the slanderer are the same coin. There's one side and the other side. The Gas Ruach is openly arrogant, and the slanderer is more subtly arrogant. And the Gemara's question is, which one is worse in terms of preventing people from gaining benefit from the Shekhinah, from God's presentation in this world? Then the idea was that the why me, why not me question of the Gas Ruach. The Gas Ruach, he gets unraveled by the smallest tragedy. Why? Because he's not prepared. He thinks that he doesn't deserve it. He can't ever imagine being affected by a tragedy. And once it happens to him, he's not prepared for it. But the Shafal is always prepared, because he doesn't look at himself as intrinsically different. Then the next point was the Chacham. Is it appropriate for him to feel any Gassus Aruach or not? And we said, can Gassus Aruach be channeled appropriately, or is it intrinsically a Toeva? And versus, how can a Chacham present Gassus Aruach to the people? Is it appropriate for the Chacham to present Gassus Aruach for a benefit, or do we say that the potential distortion is too great? And the last concept is this idea, that a person should try to be like Basar when they're approaching God, that a person has to be able to let go. A person has to be soft, meaning they can't be so harsh in their viewpoints and their perspectives, but they have to be able to let go. They have to be able to be convinced to let go of a flaw, to let go of a false idea, a false perspective. And especially in davening, a person should enter into the realm of tefillah with an idea of limitless possibilities, the limitless possibilities of God, and not have such fixed views of how these systems work. So that's the end of the shir. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.